Studio or say stationstudio.org. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going to go out with music from Joe Kai.
You've been listening to Stage and Studio. This program was made possible by KBOO members and support from PD Expendables. PD Expendables Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880. Or their online store at pdexpendables.com.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Stop the Pipeline rally on Thursday, January 11th at the Oregon State Capitol in Salem. The No LNG Exports Coalition hosts this day action at the Oregon State Capitol building to ask Governor Brown to deny the Pacific Connector Fracked Gas Pipeline and Jordan Cove LNG Export Terminal. Carpools are available. Again, that's the Stop the Pipeline rally on Thursday, January 11th at the Oregon State Capitol, 900 Court Street, Northeast in Salem. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Grace Cook Anderson. She's the Arlene and Harold Schnitzer Curator of Northwest Art at the Portland Art Museum, and she's here to talk about Apex Dawn Cerny, a sculpture show which is on now through February the 11th, 2018. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Grace.
Thanks for having me, Joseph.
This is your first time on the show.
It is.
You've been your Northwest curator at the museum for a year.
Yes.
And you, one thing we know is you do the Apex shows.
Yes.
Which are the ones on the fourth floor, down the end, mm-hmm. in the kind of H-shaped space.
Yes.
And this time, you did Sam Hamilton, who we had on the show last year. This time you have Dawn Cerny. And she's a Seattle artist. And just tell us, what do her pieces look like when you walk in the room?
They're very bright. So they, although when you walk into the fourth floor, that apex space is kind of in the back. But the sculptures really stand out, and they have quite a presence. And they resemble furniture. They resemble sort of figurative statues. They seem somewhat familiar. They could be almost like bookshelves or side tables or chairs. I think in that way they seem quite inviting. But they're not quite this or that. And mm-hmm. I think that's sort of what makes them playful and engaging.
So they're kind of, you know, they look like bookshelves, but they're very higgledy-piggledy. Their surfaces are lumpy. The configuration of shelves is way off. I think it was your colleague, Ian, who described them as what? Dr. Seuss realism or abstraction?
I think I've heard him use that, yeah. I often call them gloppy sculptures. There is definitely that kind of gloppiness, and you can see very much Dawn's hand in the making of them, and also her sort of resolution to coming to terms with how to construct these pieces. In many ways, they're quite transparent. And I think that's quite revealing to see as well in these mm-hmm. sculptures.
What do you mean, transparent?
You know, I think we were looking at that blue structure, this piece that has this dish. And you can see almost the forms that she's used, that you can see the cardboard, the wood, that's kind of constructed together. They're not sleek in their design, but you can see she's kind of forcing these objects to come together and make certain surfaces or make certain shapes.
Mm-hmm. That one's called Blue Structure for Things and House Keys.
Yes.
So it's like, it's like an apparatus, and its purpose is to hold a little bowl where you throw your keys when you come home.
Yeah, I think I've never used the word thing so much to describe sculpture. Uh-huh. And I
Dr.
think,
Seuss.
Yeah, and Dawn definitely, you know, there's really no way to talk about these objects except for in sort of their descriptions and how we relate to them. So they're all kind of relational in this way. And in this feels very much kind of like the compromises we make in our domestic environments, in our houses, these places that are not the perfect places to hold our keys, but they're good enough. They're not architecturally made to hold these structures, but we make things work out of them. Mm-hmm. And I think Dawn is takes a lot of inspiration from those kinds of moments that are sort of in between our architectural spaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them does actually name check IKEA, so we should talk about that. It's green. It's called Lera Gefrogma, Our First Nice Thing Together, A Fight in IKEA. So Lera Gefrogma is her made up silly, you know, the Swedish IKEA name for everything.
That's right.
It's her made up version of an IKEA name. Our first nice thing together, A Fight in IKEA. It's green. It's very, very green. It really, some of these are just one color.
Yes.
In fact, very few have two colors.
Yes.
And they're very bright colors. So this thing, what is this thing that she's created? And it's obviously an emotional memory of a fight.
Yes, it's an emotional memory, but I think too it's a collective understanding. I think it's a shared experience of kind of what going to IKEA means, testing your relationship in this way, agreeing to this sort of given mid-century modern design, and what the implications of that once that comes into your home and what it means for your union in this household. It has all of this baggage. And I think Dawn really draws that out in this particular piece. And it looks almost sort of like a small bookshelf. It has a lot of compartments. Some of the pieces don't quite fully meet together. And it's on casters. So it's a sculpture that can be wheeled around. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of humorous as well. I think humor is one of the important things in Dawn's work, and it's one of the things I find quite valuable. We don't see a lot of humor in artwork, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that so much with Dawn's work. And she talks about the kind of timing with sculpture. You know, you have to walk around a piece of sculpture, and within that is the inherent timing given to this sense of comedy. So the element of surprise when you walk around a piece and you see something that's quite unexpected or that seems apparently clumsy or haphazard, those are the kind of elements of surprise that Dawn thinks about in her sculptures mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, so I should say when the viewer goes in, these things are sort of scattered around the room, and you actually have maps on the wall with colored dots, so it's very hard to understand them from their titles. But if you look at the colored dot, you're like, oh, I'm going over to the orange one now. I'm going to the yellow thing with curtains, yellow curtains. So there is something about it that, as a curator, it must have been very difficult to set up and, you know, write your essay and put your cards on and all that. Was she deliberately knowing she would be a difficult experience?
Dawn is the opposite of difficult, but I can understand how it might sort of look that way. I had seen her exhibition. She was part of a group exhibition at the Henry in Seattle, and her installation was quite different in that iteration of her show. It was a lot more about sort of a domestic space. There were a lot of props, sort of rugs and books, alluding to sort of a kid's room or a living room. There were a lot of sort of indications in that way. And so when Dawn and I talked about this exhibition, I think we were both in agreement where we really wanted the sculptures to sort of stand on their own, and because they have such a vibrant presence on their own. I think initially I thought we would have maybe half of the works that are currently on view, but I think it made sense that we had this many objects because of the sense of space as they occupy, the sense of kind of going through, or the flow of going mm-hmm. through the pieces, and also how they speak to the space of Apex itself, which is an unusual space mm-hmm. with windows and strange vents. And I think Dawn really spoke well to pointing those out in the architecture itself.
Did she make stuff after seeing the space? Because some of this is 2017.
Yes, half of the works are new. So she was thinking a lot about the exhibition for Apex. And then, like, some of those vent pieces are...
Mm-hmm. These are pieces that look like vents
yes.
high up on the wall.
Yes.
There's a pink one.
Or really low down.
Yeah, but they're kind of broken. You know, they're bumpy and wavy, but they're also incomplete.
Yes. They have that feel of, you know, objects in a house, you know, like those surfaces in the house that have been painted over and over many years, but just never get sanded down and properly sort of surfaced and taken care of, or that have accumulated just so much dust over the years. They definitely have that feel.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she did some of them for this space because there are very high walls.
And yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or at least the placement she was thinking about in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So these pieces are all, you know, a lot of them are quite tall. They're like 6 feet tall. There's some of them are pushed together. So you get two separate ones. There's one called Orzo. I think it's called the dog table, but it's made of cardboard. It didn't seem to be made of wood in the description. And it's pushed against a yellow piece called Mam. Now, are they two separate pieces?
They're two separate pieces. And it was very interesting when we were in, you know, putting that show together, particularly installing that space. I think I had initially thought to give those more space. And for Dawn, it was important that they were kind of really sort of up against each other. And she related it to kind of her, this very physical experience of also being a young mother, you know, constantly having the child pulling at you, tugging at you, or a dog, you know, your family dog who's always nipping at your heels. This kind of relationship that's so vital and so close, and yet also kind of constant. So mm-hmm. That sculpture really kind of illustrates that tension and that relationship. And I think with a lot of Dawn's sculptures, she does speak to this kind of tension or struggle with all of these aspects that I think many of us can relate to, whether it be sort of parenthood, you know, this compromise of domestic life, and also the challenge of making. What does it mean to be a maker? And I think those are all of the sort of issues that Dawn works with in her work.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of domesticity that's sort of lurking is it's all about furniture, though. It's curtains, tables, chairs, that kind of thing.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's very interesting how Yadon, I mean, architecture, interior design, all of these things also very much inform her work, and I think just in her everyday life too. What does it take to make a home? I think all of those are the questions that she is thinking about.
Mm-hmm. But what about the figurative nature? I mean, some of them seem to have legs. They seem to have animal forms. Where does that come in?
I think some of her newer works do really kind of more overtly suggest the figure, and I think she thinks about that aspect a lot. You know, what is furniture? It holds the body. It holds our things, and I think that connection to the body is very much present in her work. There's some, you know, Dawn did some earlier performative pieces where she would dress all in black and would try to emulate a table or other pieces of furniture. And how much can you force the body to become these things to support other bodies? Mm-hmm. So I think those are also issues that Dawn really thinks about as well. And again, that the thing, you know, talking so much about the word thing that is so vague and yet for Dawn's work is so specific. You know, she was really influenced by the art historian and critic Herbert Read, who really wanted to pull out the very kind of substance of sculpture, the materiality of sculpture. And Dawn is certainly influenced by that. And Herbert at the time was had really butted heads with the formalist Clement Greenberg, and so here is Dawn thinking about sort of these things about thingness, the substantiality of materials, and the choice of materials. So, as you can see, a lot of Dawn's materials are quite humble: wood, cardboard. You know, basic structures to make a sort of skeletal shape. And then her paint is sort of theater paint, so that the colors really pop and they vibrate and they really kind of force the sculptures forward.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Grace Cook Anderson. She's the Arlene and Harold Schnitzer, curator of Northwest Art at the Portland Art Museum, and she's here talking about the Apex show Dawn Cerny, which runs through February the 11th this year. So Grace, you were just talking about the paint. That is one of the things that stands out about this work. It's so matte. It's like you want to touch it just to see how much where the surface is, because, you know, that matte thing, it's like there but not there. What is this paint she uses? Theater paint?
Yes, it's theater paint. And I, you know, if you view them just normally, or as I had done in the studio, or when we were installing the piece, they're bright as they are. And also the fact that they're all sort of painted in one color, they really have a presence. And then it wasn't until the pieces were lit that I could really understand their vibrancy.
And lit meaning?
Lit by our track lights and as we were sort of finishing up the installation. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole sort of different presence. They really vibrated and occupied the space in a very dynamic way, even as still pieces.
Is this the kind of paint you get under black light? So, you know, it's sort of, if you went into a haunted house, they would, you know, they would pick out details and they would light up brighter. Do you know?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the materials are, you know, wood, I think plywood, and then cardboard in places, but it's all covered in this resin stuff that makes it softer looking and rounded and sort of rougher in a way, like unfinished. And then everything's painted in one color.
Yes.
So it has this definite form. Do you know, has that evolved out of some other technique of hers? Has she always done this?
I think Dawn has worked in a lot of different mediums, but this, I think, has kind of, this has been sort of more primary or more significant in the last several years. And I think, too, it is that kind of, that grasp of sculpture that's almost sort of haphazard, that's almost this sort of construction using kind of what you have. But the fiberglass, too, sort of unifies the object. It's funny because I think about sort of reductive art or minimalism in some ways in relation to her work because of this kind of wholeness that her works occupies. But at the same time, they're sort of the opposite of minimalism. They're very clunky, they're goopy, they take on all the brightest colors. Mm-hmm. They're very informal in that way, I think.
Is that a term, maximalist art? Is that an actual... I've seen it on a book cover. I mean, there's a book about maximalist art. I don't know if the term ever caught on.
Yeah.
But the idea is it's very bright, as many, many things, the sort of collage-y, and, you know, there's no minimalism there. Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah, I think for Dawn, I wouldn't call her a maximalist, if that is a term.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, and I think when I think of that term, it makes me also think of spectacle. And I definitely think Dawn's work is sort of the opposite of that. I think it's, in many ways, it's almost more of these internal tensions or struggles. And in a lot of ways, too, there are kind of these concerns, these sort of gnawing daily concerns of life that mm-hmm. occupy her. And those are the things that kind of come forward. But the colors, too, for me, they seem almost as an invitation or an offering. And the dish, too, in that blue structure that we had looked at, to me also feels like an offering, these daily things that hold our keys, our objects, mm-hmm. but they're also displayed in an exhibition space. And I think those are the things that really sort of connect us. We can relate to bits of change in a mm-hmm. dish and scraps of paper and our used up TriMet card.
Right, yeah. There's the New York subway card. And right now, and you know, bits of receipts and things. So you said something about what I heard. People have been dropping the chewing gum in these dishes. What's the official museum take on people taking bits from the bowl and leaving bits in the bowl?
We took our lead from Dawn, the artist herself, and her desires for this piece, and I have to say, our registrar, our conservator, our preparators have all been really amazing and very flexible in a way that is not traditional in a typical museum setting with objects that are under our care. But for Dawn, it was okay for people to take those objects. You know, there is some change that has gone missing. Ideally, they would stay the way they are, but I think she understands that some people will take that. But I think what's been more interesting is people have left what I've been calling sort of offerings. So I know, Joseph, you went into the space yesterday. Someone left a little origami crane that they made out of a gum wrapper, and someone left their lipstick print on a tissue and left it in the dish. Those all feel like offerings to the artist or to the piece, and I think those are kind of the really sweet moments.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, some change has gone missing, and mm-hmm. but those feel pretty nominal to what the offerings have been.
Mm-hmm. But there's no signs, you know. Usually you have signs about not touching.
Yeah, we've really tried to avoid signage, and we check in. You know, everyone's pretty good at the. Our museum staff is really good at checking in on the pieces to see if there's any adjustments or changes. Mm-hmm. And for as long as we can go, we'd like to not have signage if we can get away with that.
Okay, so Dawn, apparently you just told me, has written plays. And there was talk of doing a performance around these pieces. And you said she has done performance around objects before. What would this look like? I know there's only a month left, so it probably won't happen. But what do you envisage?
I think this space really does call for some sort of a performance. And I don't know if we'll really have time to make that happen. If it did happen, it would happen in conjunction with an exhibition we have up now called We Construct Marvels Between Monuments that's guest curated by or art directed by Libby Werbel. But I would imagine there would be some interaction with the sculptures and some engagement with the sculptures. It makes me think of artists offering sort of objects in a performative space. We've seen a lot of examples of that. I think most recently for me, I've seen some wonderful examples by the artist Robert Wilhite in LA, who created these kind of very minimal structures, these minimal objects. And the performance playwright artist Guy de Quanté would create wonderful plays and moments around these pieces that where the sculptures then would have multiple meanings and multiple objectives.
Would these be like a one-off play in an art museum?
Not for Guy de Quanté. I think he really did travel. They were really plays that had many iterations and traveled. And for Dawn, I don't know what her plans would be for these objects, mm-hmm. or for any upcoming plays.
How was it just spreading them out around the room? Because, you know, people, like you said, walk around them and there's this, you know, feeling. How long do you give a piece of art? How did you organize the layout?
I think, I've expanded the Apex space when I started at the museum because it used to be just in this one space that is now kind of occupies the entire back part of the fourth floor.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. When Vanessa Rennick was there was it last year?
Last
year. Next Level?
Yes.
That was mainly in the back room.
Yes.
The back.
That's
right. But you've expanded it out a bit.
I have expanded it out. And so in some ways, they almost feel like three different spaces or transitional spaces as opposed to a larger installation space. And for Dawn, I think it worked well as we were sort of thinking about these different compartments of space and how the works get grouped together and laid out. And it's putting the show together also felt a lot like painting, which was a very strange realization as well. It was a lot about composition and mm-hmm. space and how the balance of colors.
Did you have much say?
Yeah, we worked pretty closely together in installing, but Dawn did kind of draw out her vision for kind of her sketch of what she thought could work. And we laid out the works, and there was some room for flexibility and change. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, it really stayed close to Dawn's drawing of what she had planned for the installation.
What she liked to work with?
Oh, she's really fun. And she's so so smart, and her influence, her range of influences are kind of broad. So she's, I think, very tangential in that way. And I think it's very contagious, which is wonderful to work with. So we talked a lot about film and, you know, sort of her different sources of inspiration, motherhood, you know, all ranges of what it is to be an artist, to be a maker, to be a woman, to be a mother, all of that.
And she has she's based at Seattle University. She's artist in residence, Dawn Cerny, if you're up there. And in December of 2018, she has a show at Cooper Cole in Toronto, Canada, which apparently is a prestigious group show she's going to be in.
Yes, yeah.
So what's your next Apex show, Grace?
So coming up next at the end of February, we'll have the artist Hannah Piper Burns. She's a Portland-based artist, and she works primarily in sort of found footage and film. And she's been working on a series really focused on the three reality shows, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise, and using those, splicing them, editing them, glitching them, and creating this larger meta-narrative of sort of our existence, our relationships to failure, and kind of these grander narratives.
Great. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Grace Cook Anderson. She was talking about Dawn Cerny, the Apex show, which runs now at the Portland Art Museum through February the 11th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Thank you so much for having me.
I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Hi, I'm Shaheed Hamid, KBOO board member. As we embark upon a new year, the World Arts Foundation and KBOO wants to continue to honor the life and legacy of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On Monday, January the 15th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.,